Hi, I'm Kathy Forstey, music director at Casey Cafe Radio. We're very happy to have singer-songwriter, guitarist Ryan Totten as an artist on Casey Cafe Radio. Ryan's music has been playing on Casey Cafe Radio for the past 8 years. His newest album, Underneath the Sky, has been a chart favorite on both the Roots Music Report and the Indie Music Alliance charts. Thanks so much, Ryan, for taking the time to chat with me today here on Casey Cafe Radio.
Thank you for having me.
The last album, A Real Class Act, I think you played almost all the instruments on that. Is that correct?
Yeah, I played all the parts, did all the vocals, did everything on it.
So is that true with Underneath the Sky as well?
Yeah, I thought I had a singer for a while, but it didn't come through, and so I just wound up doing the whole thing myself again.
Do you like doing that yourself?
I'd rather have a singer. I'd rather have a singer. It's really hard for me to stay on top of vocals when you have a band and everyone has their designated role, you know. That makes it a lot easier to focus on one thing.
Right.
And when you're doing everything, it takes a while.
So is the vocals the most challenging part for you, would you say?
Yeah, it is. Lyric writing also, I mean, sometimes. I did the lyrics a lot quicker on this record. I did them in just a few days. And I think when I did a class act, it took me months to do that.
And where do you find your inspiration for your songs?
There's so many things. Movies or stories people have told me, or things happen in my own life, or sometimes the lyrics don't even have any meaning. It just, you know, I've got a musical idea and I just need some lyrics, and I just throw down some idea.
You have a lot of great songs on this new album. Some interesting lyrics as well. One of the songs I like a lot in the lyrics is Acrylic Green. What is that song about?
Some tunes I write lyrics for, and I don't really like to tell meanings because I figure a lot of people are going to listen to them and draw their own experiences into it, and I don't want to ruin it for them. Does that make sense? That was one of my favorite ones on this last record, just the personal story.
What was the inspiration behind the song Ghost Town?
It was an old 80s movie I watched, actually. It's just kind of an old favorite, and I thought it'd be good to have a song just to kind of wrap up the movie. You know, it's one of those movies you watch 100 times, and when they got through watching it and just wrote that, it kind of came out.
And how about the song Run and Rewind? What was the inspiration for that one?
That one, I didn't really have a lot of vocal inspiration. I wrote that one, the music on the piano, and you know, if you listen to those big block chords that kind of play through it, you kind of picture that in your head. I wish I would have kept it on the piano. I think it sounded a little bit better. But I played it on a guitar instead. I don't really know what was going on the day I wrote that, but I think I had a bass solo on that one. Like the chords, I listened to a lot of jazz. And I really liked the chord parts of the solo, and I didn't want a guitar solo on that. I didn't want to have too much guitar on this, as crazy as it sounds. Everything's guitar. But I play a lot more bass on this one also.
So how many instruments do you play?
Just guitar and bass, and I can kind of plunk around on a piano, but it's not like, you know, Rachmaninoff. I'm just pushing buttons, you know.
But you must have an ear for it, though.
Well, I've been doing it a long time. It kind of seems like it, but I don't know. You do it long enough, and it kind of comes naturally, more natural as the years go on.
So whenever people ask you what you are, do you say you're a songwriter? Do you say you're a singer? Do you say you're a guitarist? How do you describe yourself to others?
I've had people ask you, what kind of music? It's categorized as rock, but when they hear it, they don't know how to describe it either. It makes it a little more difficult to market. But so I write stuff that amuses myself, and I'm just lucky enough that enough people enjoy it that people would buy it. So, you know, I do it because it's who I am. It's not because I'm trying to target some demographic, you know.
Well, that makes you original that way, you know. If people can't really describe it, that means you're definitely have an original style. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, good. I'm glad.
Do you write every day?
Not really. It kind of waxes and wanes. There may be a time where, you know, I'll write 4 tunes in 1 month, and then there might be 6 months go by where I don't write anything. I think someone described it about when you're writing and you're producing all this music and you're it's coming from you, you're exhaling, that eventually you have to stop and inhale. And I can write so much and for so long, but then with this last record, I haven't really written anything new. I've got an idea for the next record, but I haven't really written anything new for it yet. I think it's going to come quickly, but it's kind of, you know, marinating in my mind.
All right. So do you ever co-write as well, or usually work alone?
Sometimes I co-write. I did a record 3 or 4 years ago. It was called Hot Coals, and I had a vocalist. I had all the music written and about half the vocals. I did vocals for a couple of tunes, and I had a singer come in, and she wrote all the lyrics like in a week. She was really prolific with the lyrics and had books and pages of all this poetry, and she painted what they call murals, like, and just real artsy. She did a lot of stuff. I was going to call the record Hot Coals, and she, one of the tracks I gave her, she wrote the lyrics around that idea, which surprised me. But I'd like to play in a band, but it's a lot of bands are, you know, they just do one thing or another. Like, there's a lot of metal bands or a lot of bluegrass bands. It's hard to find a band anymore that where people have a lot of diverse influences, it seems like, anyway.
Right.
I don't know why.
Yeah, eclectic bands. Yeah, it's difficult. You know, we played some music on here where the artists are pretty eclectic. Like, Estelvo comes to mind. They're everything but classical is what they kind of, classical and opera is what they say in their music. And, you know, it's just really two of them. And then they bring people in to kind of work with them from time to time. It's difficult to put a band together that's diverse.
Yeah, it's difficult to share a vision with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And to have someone believe in your work as much as you believe in it, and vice versa. And it's to find someone like-minded.
Right.
It's hard to do. It's not just anybody.
Right. So when did you first start playing guitar and writing in that?
I started playing, I was 16. It wasn't much longer. I hadn't even been playing a year, and I started writing. And then, I've been writing music for so long. Even before I picked up the guitar, I had songs in my head that I didn't know how to express them. I would just have ideas and lyrics and music that just kind of danced around in my head, and I didn't really know how to get them out. And it kind of drove me crazy. And it really did. And then eventually I picked up the guitar, and it's therapeutic, you know, it could come out then. It's similar to like if someone wants to write novels, if they didn't know how to read or write, you know, and eventually you have to learn that in order to do it.
So who were your influences at that point? What do you think made you want to become a songwriter?
It just seems like I've wanted to do that since I was just a kid. I didn't really choose that. I just always wanted to do that. Whatever was on the radio at the time. You know, I grew up, you know, in the 80s. There's a lot of pop music on that I liked. I like a good pop song, but, you know, it's not really, I don't really write a lot of pop music. I try to have one tune on every record that's kind of pop. And I got into blues, and I got into, I'm listening to a lot of jazz now. And then I studied at SMSU at Southwest Missouri State, studied music there for several years. And I met a lot of other musicians there, which that helped too, you know, to talking to other people who were, you know, horn players and pianists and singers, and being able to watch the operas and the classical pieces. That was refreshing. It helped.
So was guitar your major instrument then at the university?
Yeah, I did guitar. I think everybody had to pass a piano proficiency course.
Right.
But yeah, I studied classical, I studied jazz. And the instructor, I don't think he's there anymore, Joe Leiter. I don't know who took over for him. He taught me a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, I went.
Just listening to horn players.
Yeah. So were you like trumpet players?
Trumpet players and saxophone players, mainly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have a minor in music as well, and I had to pass a piano proficiency test, but I'm still not a piano player at all.
Yeah, me either. Piano is one of those weird instruments that if you're playing something really difficult, like, you know, Franz Liszt or whatever, you got to really stay on top of it. The songwriting things like I do, I can, you know, walk away from it for 6 months or a year, and you can kind of plunk around on it, and in a week you've got it back. But it's not like I'm, you know, I play anything extravagant. It's just... It's just chords, because it's all linear. You can see the mathematics of what you're doing.
Right. So what was your first guitar? What kind of guitar did you have?
It was my stepmom's guitar. It was this old acoustic that, oh, that thing was hard to play. It was, I think the bridge fell off at one time, and her dad glued it back on, and he wasn't a luthier. So, I mean, it had issues when the action was kind of a little off. But it worked well for quite a while.
It met your needs at that moment in time.
Yeah, I think back then I just didn't care. I just wanted to play something.
Uh-huh.
I'd play anything.
So was your family musical as well, or were you like the first mural musician in your family?
Not really. I know my father played guitar for some bands back in the 60s, and he played a saxophone also. But That's about it. There really isn't anybody else that did that besides me.
Do you have any siblings, and do any of them play?
I had a brother that played for a while. He didn't really pursue it like I did, though. I think his interests were somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
They played for a while.
So you mentioned you were listening to 80s music back when you first started playing guitar and stuff.
Yeah.
Who were some of the artists that you really liked back then?
I liked just a lot of the pop music that was on the radio. I was still pretty young, and it was, like Madonna and Huey Lewis and Prince and NXS and just, the typical 80s music. And then, as I got a little older, I got into other things. And I listen to so much different stuff now.
Well, Prince was a pretty amazing guitar player, and I think the lead guitar player for NXS was pretty decent, too.
Yeah, and Prince, he could do just about anything.
Yeah, he was incredible.
Yeah, it was a sad day when he died.
Yeah, the world lost a great artist that day. So we were talking a little bit about guitars. What guitar do you play now? What's your main go-to guitar?
I play a Telecaster. I played those for almost 10 years, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of built the one I have now because I've played them long enough. I kind of know what I want. I want a certain neck. I want it to feel a certain way. They're not really worth anything because there's no brand name. I put all the parts together, but it suits my needs, and it's pretty easy to replace, I think, because I've built them long enough. Now I can kind of know what I want and where to get all my material from.
Well, that's the thing about guitars. It has to fit your hands and your body and even your personality, That's
Not like, horn players, they can't. They're kind of out of luck with that. You gotta go buy a horn. I don't know. I guess there's probably somebody out there that makes their own horns, but I don't know how you can do it.
Yeah, I watched a thing about American-made things, and they talked about this company that makes custom-made trumpets. So they have these jazz guys who come in and say, this is what I want for this trumpet, and they make the trumpet form the way they tell them to their specs. And then that same program,
wow.
they also talked about a banjo company that was here, I guess they're in Tennessee, I think. I can't remember the name of it now, but it was pretty interesting because I had no idea that there was a custom trumpet maker in the country, so.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what they're made out of or if you can make it out of different material to have a certain weight. I don't know if horn players are concerned with weight or not.
I would think so. I would think so. It takes holding up a trumpet for 2 hours a night. It's not an easy thing to do. I played in marching band. I played French horn, so I know how heavy that can be.
Oh, yeah, those French horns can be a real boat anchor.
Yeah, yeah. And I didn't have one of the marching horns. I had a real French horn I had to march with, so it was not easy.
Wow. I always wonder how they play those sousaphones. Those things are gigantic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To walk around with those.
Yeah, those are very heavy to play. So is there an instrument that you have not learned how to play that you would like to learn how to play?
Not really. I just keep working on more guitar stuff. It seems like the more I learn, the more that I need to learn. I never quite get to the end of the road, That you look and you see you got to climb 5 foot and you get 5 feet and then you see that you need to climb 50 more feet and then you go 50 feet and then you got to go 500 more feet. It never stops.
I agree. Especially with an instrument like guitar. There's just so much to learn on it. People ask me, because I teach guitar, and people ask me, when am I going to be done? And I'm like, never. You're never going to be done learning on this instrument. There's just so much to learn because there's so many styles to learn, so many different techniques to learn. You'll never stop learning.
And the older I get, the older the music I listen to. Now I listen to older blues, and I've gotten away from more complex orchestrations, and I try to do simpler lines now, work on my phrasing a lot more. This last record, I try to put some extravagant solo, and I don't think I did that on this last record. I think it was just, this is the first record where I didn't pre-compose any solos. I just improvised it. I just let it roll and just played through it without trying to think about where I wanted to go. I don't know if that was a good thing or a bad thing, but
no, I think it's a good thing. I like this album a lot. I think this is definitely the best album you've put out, and I enjoyed listening to it quite a bit. I was wondering, what is your favorite cut on the CD? What's your favorite song?
I don't know. There's a tune there called The Story. That took the longer to write than anything else. I'm not entirely happy with it. I recorded on this new rig, and I think it had 8 layers of guitars, and you can only hear 3 or 4, which was frustrating at the end there, because with most of my records I've done before, I try to combine my guitar parts. If you hear old Robert Johnson, it sounds like he's got 2 guitars, but it's just him on 1 guitar. And that's how I tried to do things before, so I could play it on acoustic guitar by myself. But with this one, I put down all these different layers, so a lot of times it sounds like there's 2 or 3 or 4 guitars. because I got tired of trying to condense everything into one part. Mm-hmm. And plus, I haven't had a band in so long, and it's been recorded, so why not?
Right.
I doubled the bass, too, and on the title track, so I wanted it to sound like an 8-string bass, because it starts off that little melody. Mm-hmm. And I just played a line, and I played it an octave higher, and it worked out better than I thought it would.
Where did you record this album at?
I recorded it in a lot of different motel rooms, actually. I kind of recorded it on the go. There's 3 or 4 different places I recorded it in.
So you have a portable setup that you have with you, and you can just set it up in your room?
Yeah, the technology now, I can set it up. I think I still got the same old mic that I've used for the past 3 records. That thing just never dies. It's an old condenser mic, but everything else was new. It's just a digital 8-track recorder, basically, and you can bounce tracks and you can master things. And I programmed the drums because I didn't have a real drummer. I think on the next record, I'm going to hire a drummer and hire a vocalist and do it the way I want to do it the right way next time.
Mm-hmm. When you're recording in a hotel, to me, it would seem like the acoustics would be pretty decent. You got a small room there that's pretty well insulated.
Yeah, it usually worked out okay. And I got a few tricks where I placed the mic on the amp to kind of capture a sound. Whenever I did Class Act, I recorded that in my old house, and I have hardwood floors, and that worked out really well. I can still listen to that old record, and I can still hear the sound bouncing off the floor.
Mm-hmm.
But this one was a different kind of animal, but I think it worked out okay.
Mm-hmm. So there was probably, about 7 years between your Real Class Act and Underneath the Sky, and you needed one project in between that. Why was there so long between projects there?
Just probably because I do everything myself, pretty much. In 2010, Class Act came out, and I started writing, and it took me forever to find a vocalist. I don't know how I should have done that differently, but it just took me a long time, and then we met and recorded it, I think, in a month and a half. It didn't take long. And then we were going to do another project, and I had most of the material written within the next few months, and then we kind of parted ways. I recorded everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Or written everything else. I had 10 tracks. Yeah, I wanted a longer record this time, and because I think my last record, I had 8 or 9 tracks, and I wanted 10 on this one for some reason, even though the opening track is like 30 seconds long. But it was fun to do, the opening track. It had just a ton of reverb. And I played like this Phrygian dominant mode and just played this simple melody and then stopped and went into the first real tune.
The album's really laid out really nicely, too. Do you take a lot of thought into how you're going to put together the album as far as the order of the tracks and that kind of thing? Because people don't really buy albums anymore. They just listen, they download songs. Do you still take a lot of thought into that?
Yes and no. I'll write as many tunes as I think is ready for a record, and then I'll rearrange the order 4 or 5 times, figure out how I want it. I want to start off with not my most impressive stuff, just something that's simple that will draw someone in, and then as it progresses, later on in the record, have branch out from there. I had an instrumental, I think it's called Blue Gingham, on this record, and I just threw it in the middle. I would never put that at the beginning of a record. It just wouldn't. I don't think it would fit.
Mm-hmm.
It would, but it would be that'd be a certain kind of audience for that.
Have you ever thought about having a producer help work with you on an album? Or
yeah, I have. I thought about finding somebody. I might do that next time. I might have to shop for one. I've never done that before. I've always kind of done it myself.
Right. Yeah. You're the ultimate DIYer.
It's good and bad. It's good to have complete control of it, but at the same time, it's good to have other input. Like when I did Hot Coals, her name was Antonetta, was the vocalist. I had a vision for that record, and her vocals were a lot darker than what I intended, but I thought that was a nice touch. It came out different than what I wanted, but it was still good. I think with my next project, I'm not going to do just song by song. I have a concept for the whole record and how I want it to start and build up and then end. And I would just want to play the music, and I think I'm going to bring in someone just to do lyrics and vocals next time, just to see what they do with it. And I'll just control the composition.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
It's what I'd like to do anyway.
Do you go out and tour with these albums? Are you playing any venues?
No, I haven't really. Bands want to do their thing, and it's hard to find somebody who's going to pick up my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You can hire people to do it, but that gets expensive, hiring 3 or 4 guys to go out and play that,
Mm-hmm. Well, you could always, like, put a ad up in a music store or something and say, hey, band members to collaborate with or something, you know?
Yeah, I've used Craigslist a few times to try to find some band members, and I thought I'd get more hits. And I lived in Austin for a while, and even down there, it was, you know, I met a few people, and they would back out, or, you know, I thought it was going to go somewhere, and it didn't, and it got frustrating, especially in a town like Austin.
Yeah.
Where you got all this music going on.
Have you ever played in just a band for fun, like in a jazz band or anything like that?
Yeah, I played in a lot of rock bands when I was younger. Played a lot of, because where I grew up, there was either country or metal, pretty much. And you got your typical cover bands that do classic rock and contemporary country. And I didn't really want to do country, so I would join the metal band just to keep up my chops and just to get out in front of the crowd and work with other people. And it was what it was.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it, but I don't think I'd go back to doing metal again. It's just not my thing.
You'll ruin your hearing quicker in playing metal than anything else.
Yeah, and I didn't stand out. I don't have any tattoos. I just didn't look the part.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'd look at all the guys in the band, and you know, one of these things is not like the other, and it's me.
You know, you do what you can.
But the old drummer I used to work with, I might hit him up to do the drums on the next record. He was a metal drummer, but he was incredible. I mean, I think he could do it. I know he could. So
yeah.
I've had him kind of in my Rolodex of, you know, of people I can contact.
Metal music, people don't really think that there's a lot of musicality to it, but especially drums are just incredible. You got to really know what you're doing behind the drum set when you play metal.
The only thing they don't do is swing. I mean, not a lot of my tunes swing, but a few of them maybe.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that there's less and less people doing jazz and stuff?
I know there's less and less jazz. I think jazz records are less than 1% of sales anymore. They're not very many, but it's still a genre out there. There's still a kind of an underground crowd for it. You know, you don't turn on the radio and really hear it anymore.
There's really no, even here in Kansas City, there's really no jazz stations anymore. Even though, you know, we're really known for jazz in Kansas City, there's not a lot of jazz stations. Now, we do have a lot of jazz venues, but as far as just to listen to jazz on the radio, no. It just doesn't exist, which is kind of sad.
I think there's that restaurant Jazz. I think I've been there and seen a few bands a few times.
There are a few places, there's a place called the Green Lady, I think it's called. And they do jazz, I think, just about every night, and it's pretty good. Of course, there's a jazz museum down on 10th and Vine. And
or even blues clubs. It's hard to find blues clubs anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like all the blues is either, it's just all Stevie Ray Vaughan ripoff anymore.
Yeah, which is really what Texas blues is, a certain genre of blues, really, so, for sure.
You don't hear anybody that's more, you know, like Albert Collins or John Lee Hooker. You don't hear a lot of that, which, I mean, I like Stevie Ray, too, but when everybody's doing it, it kind of becomes, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Diluted, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
So you've talked a couple of times about a new project. When do you think you're going to start working on that and hope to have that out?
I want to have it done by the end of next year. It's kind of a big time period, but, you know, it takes me a while to put a record anyway. But I want to just really focus on the compositions, on all the music, and not worry about the vocals, and then bring in someone to do it. I think that's going to work out for me a little better, and I think the music will be a little better. And I think everything's going to be a little better if I can get somebody to work with me on that.
That's what you want to do, is you want to get better with each album. So that's sort of the goal.
Everyone's a little different.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's on a lily pad. Just keep it going.
Right. Well, thanks a lot for chatting with me. I'm going to promote the album here. It's called Underneath the Sky, and people can find it on iTunes and Amazon. Any other places they can find it?
There's a lot of them, but I can't think of them right now. I know if you just Google it, that record, it'll show up. I know some people that buy it in other countries, and I know they buy it from stores that I've never even heard of.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll see where it came from. They'll say the sales came from whatever, and I've never heard of it. It's, you know, it'll be in Denmark or Germany or something, you know, in America. It's, iTunes, Amazon, that's kind of the go-to.
Yeah, iTunes, I think.
I think the Apple.
Yeah, Apple iTunes. Yeah, the Apple. Yeah, I saw it on there. And then you have a website. It's ryantottenband.wordpress.com. Is that right?
Yeah, there's not a whole lot on it yet. I want to add some more content later. I'm not sure what I'm going to put on it. Something else I need is maybe design a website, or I just need to, you know, get off my butt and just do it right.
Well, people can contact you through us if they want to work with you.
Yeah.
And are you on Facebook and Twitter, too, or?
I'm not on Facebook or Twitter. I just have just Ryan Todd and Band on Instagram.
Okay. I'm getting to the point where I'm pretty sick of Facebook, so.
Yeah, there's so much social media, it's hard to pick, so I just picked one. I'll probably do another one later on.
I think once you're on one, you're pretty, you know, just pick your poison and go with it, so.
Yeah, it's not that hard to find, you know.
Right. So RyanTottenBand.wordpress.com, and then iTunes and Amazon is where you can buy his music at. It's been a great pleasure talking with you, Ryan.
Thank you. It's a pleasure being on.
And the newest
good
album.
Good to talk to you again.
Yeah. The newest album is called Underneath the Sky, and you can hear it on KC Cafe Radio.